1 Corinthians chapter 16. We started out this year looking at 2017 as being a banner year for us, and we're quickly cutting away at 2017. If it's going to happen, it's going to have to happen soon. You understand? Do you realize this is the second month of the year already? January's gone. It's incredible. But I want you to hang on tight because I had started kind of a series of messages and I had to take some time off, but we'll get back into it. My goal is to finish this up, this concept up, by the end of this month, and I want you to be ready. Many of you have just come to me and you're chomping at the bit. I'm excited. I guess it's caught on that everybody's getting excited about what we're trying to do. And so like, okay, Pastor, we're ready. I'm not, all right? We need to lay some more groundwork. I'm just being honest, all right? But when we get to the end of this month, be ready. I'm going to ask you to stick a needle in the end of your finger and write in blue. No, I'm just kidding. I won't make you do that. But we are looking for God to do something very unique and unusual in each and every one of us in 2017. In order for that to happen, each and every one of us need to be ready to respond. Do you understand? It would be fantastic. I would be excited if 50% of you actually respond to the things that I'm saying. But if I can say this carefully, I think that I could muster up 50% of you on my own. I want this to be a work of God and not a work of your pastor. Do you understand? And I want God to just do something unique. And that means that I can't move. I mean, I could cajole and plead and beg and guilt 50% of you into doing something. But that won't give us a banner year. That won't be a work that God is doing. And so I'm asking you to get gutsy enough to pray and say, okay, God, show me. I'm ready. I'm willing to take upon a mantle of responsibility at Southeast Baptist Tabernacle to help you accomplish unique things in this year of 2017. And so that's what we've been looking at. We've really been focusing on Sunday nights, and because my voice just has been so iffy, I've moved my series to Sunday mornings so that I can just make sure that I get said what needs to be said, and if I can't preach Sunday night, then I said what needed to be said. You get the idea? Last Sunday, I preached for the first time both services, and by the time we get to the end of the Sunday night service, it was about all I could do to just keep talking. It didn't stop me, but it was about all I could do to keep talking. And you can tell today. I mean, I feel like it's fairly strong, and I was wanting to sing. I want to sing with Pastor Andrew. I can't do that, but I couldn't do that before the surgery, so that doesn't really matter. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're going to start it with a great passage of Scripture that we've looked at before, but I want you to consider again, and then we'll kind of add to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and let's look at verse 9. For a great door and effectual means it's effective, it's an opportunity. A great door and an effective opportunity is opened unto me. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would just meet with us here this morning in a very special way, that God, you would work a work that only you can do, that I would not in my own flesh try and make something happen here at Southeast Baptist, but that God, we would see your hand at work and that you would grow ministry and give us souls for our labors, that you would just cause 2017 to be a year that we are astounded at your awesome power. God, as you've set an open door before us, give us the courage to step through. And Father, we will thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Joshua chapter 3, the children of Israel have finally, after 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness, God brought them back yet again to the edge of the promised land. And all they have to do is take one step, but it's the greatest step they've ever been challenged to take. Their fathers before them stood at the same spot, and all they had to do was take one step to cross over into the promised land, and their fathers chickened out. and spent the next 40 years wandering around the wilderness. It takes a lot when we come to that open door, when we come to that the brink of that river, and we're about, here's what Joshua says. He says, go and sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You see, what's about to happen, and he goes on in Joshua to say this, they're about to go places they've never been before. And that's where I want to lead Southeast Baptist Tabernacles, to the door. What I can't do is get you to walk through the door. You understand? There is no question in my heart and mind that God has opened up a door of opportunity, a great, effective opportunity for us. And so here we stand at the edge of the door. What are you going to do? For some of you sitting here this morning, it's very possible that that great door of opportunity that God has opened up is for you to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've been hanging around church for a while now. Maybe you've been hanging around church all your life. But if you were to die today, you're not certain that you would go to heaven. You're sitting there thinking, well, I hope I would. I think I've done enough to get myself there. It's not going to happen. The Bible says that if we were to pile up all of the good works that we could possibly do, every good thing that we do is in the eyes of a righteous and holy God as filthy rags, and you and I would still come short of the glory of God. It's not about what we've done. It's about trusting what He did for us. See, God loved us so much, He knew that we couldn't get to heaven on our own. So He provided a way. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And Jesus Christ became obedient even to the death of the cross, and He took upon Himself all of our wickedness, all of our sin, every evil thought, every evil word, and He took it all upon Himself, and He carried it to the cross, and He paid the payment, the debt for our sin. And if we will but trust in His death to be the payment for our sins, we can go to heaven. So for some of you, there's a great door, a great effective door open to you that the God of heaven has opened up and said, please, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He has invited you in. And that's the step you need to take this morning, to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But Christians, what I want to do is look at this passage of Scripture as how you and I then could find the strength and the courage that we need to go someplace we have never been. You say, Pastor John, there's no place on this property I haven't already been. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in ministry. I'm talking about your willingness to be used of God. For some of you, you're like, I just can't wait till the month of February is over so He gets off of this and leaves us alone. Because you kind of like where you are. It's so easy to get comfortable being where we are. But comfort is there's a really fine line between comfortable and dead. Right? I mean, you want to be real. Let's see, who was it? I can't remember. There was a politician of old that said this. I want to say it was Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, that said something along this line. If you want total security, then go to jail. They feed you. They clothe you. They give you a place to stay. You can have total security, but if you expect your government to give you total security, the only way you're going to get that from your government is to give up freedom. It's an interesting concept. And sometimes we just get really comfortable, and we're so willing to surrender what we ought to have, the freedom that God gives us. We're so willing to surrender it because we just like where we are. And so we allow ourselves to be kind of put into a prison. And God says, uh-uh. You know what? It's kind of an amazing thing. Sometimes we think like this great door of opportunity is open, like we're going to go enter into someplace we've never been. Think about it this way. How about God is opening the door of the prison cell like He did for Paul and Silas of old? And we actually get to go someplace we've never been before, because God has opened the door of opportunity. How do we get to that point? Well, Paul's going to tell us right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. As we keep reading, going down to verse 13, if you would, please. And let's kind of work ourselves through it. It says, watch ye and stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. He gives us four things right there. Four things that we're going to have if you and I are going to have the courage to go through that open door. If you and I are going to be able to follow the Apostle Paul through this open, he has a great door and effectual is opened unto me. Pray, he says, watch ye. The first thing he says, watch, is that concept of just simply being ready, being aware. Being aware of what? Well, if you go back up to the verse first that we read, verse 9, he says, a great door and effectual is opened unto me. But what's the last part of the verse? There are many adversaries. Do you know what? Not everybody in your family wants to see you live for Jesus. Do you know how much it messes up your family when you start living for Jesus? Wow. I mean, if dad starts living for Jesus, mom and the kids, do you think they're going to be impacted? Do you think the normal family routine is going to be impacted if somebody walks through that open door? Do you think if one of the kids, it's really bad when your kids start living more for the Lord than you do. Puts a lot of pressure on a parent when kids start stepping up to the plate. So when one of these teenagers gets up the courage to walk through that open door and mom and dad are left, what? What do we have to watch out for and be aware? Be aware that this is not an easy step. Be aware, be alert that there are a lot of enemies out there. There's a lot of adversaries. There's a lot of reasons why you should not step through that door. Because that door is going to change your life and your perspective. It's going to change things about your life. It's going to, all the comforts back there that you've gotten used to, you know, that bunk and the toilet that you share with the other three guys in the cell, all those comforts you leave behind, and you're going to go someplace you've never been. And it is a little unnerving, I will tell you. Anybody who's ever had the wonderful opportunity to stand before a group of three-year-olds for the first time in their life knows how terrifying that can be. I will not do that, Pastor John. Okay, fine. If it's not within you to do, then God wouldn't ask it of you. Don't worry about it. All right, I'm being very serious. Don't worry about it. But I am well aware that virtually everything I'm talking about is outside of your comfort zone. Do you understand? I'm aware of that. So is God. That doesn't mean that the door is still not a great opportunity. Right? It doesn't mean that the door isn't open. It only means that we need to be ready to walk through it. He says, watch ye. Be aware. Be prepared. And then he goes on to this next phase. He says, stand fast in the faith. Now, you know, this is where you just have to make up your mind about some things. It's not easy to do these things. It's not. But here's the idea. You and I are to forget those things that are behind and reach forth unto those things that are before. The Bible literally says that if we set our hand to the plow and then turn around, that's not good. What I'm saying and what God is saying right here is stand fast. Make up your mind. I'm going to walk through that door. I'm scared to death. I'm going to walk through that door. I don't know what's on the other side. I'm going to walk through that door. I'm really comfortable right here. I'm going to walk through that door. Because that door represents what is better than where I am. Remember, we started this with the children of Israel. What was God asking them to leave? Somebody help me. What did the wilderness look like? The desert. You know, the wilderness is that place where they wandered around and couldn't find water for a long time, and they finally found some water, and it was poison, and God had to find a tree for them to throw in the water so the poison would go out of it. That was the desert. That's a wonderful place to be, right? Remember your bunk and your toilet that you're sharing with three guys? It's a wonderful place to be. Who wouldn't want to stay there? Right? Who wouldn't want to stay right where we are? We're comfortable, Pastor. Leave us alone. Who wouldn't want to stay there? And yet, what God is saying is, if you have the courage to walk through the door, what's on the other side of the door? Who said desert? Don, what's on the other side of that door? What's on the other side? What's in the promised land? Milk and honey. Grapes with where there's so many grapes on one cluster that they had to hang it on a pole between two men to carry it? That's what's there. Green pastures, water so readily available that they'll never have to worry about where the water's going to come from. God says, you can stay comfortable. That's fine. Just know that your comfort is dry and barren. And I'm offering you something. I'm offering you an open door. All you have to do is step through. All you have to do is take that first, and literally it was one step. Do you remember what happened? They're standing at the edge of the Jordan River, and God said to them, take a step. And as the priest's feet entered the water, what happened? The water parted, but not a moment before. Not a moment before. You want one of those parting of the waters moment in your spiritual walk where God does something so amazing that we're reading about it 5,000 years later and we're like, whoa, look at that, what God did. Parting the waters, you want one of those moments? You have to take the first step. Because without it, the water just sits there. It doesn't happen without the first step. On the other side is milk and honey. On the other side of that door is the blessing that God wants to bestow upon his people in unique ways. There's a lot of trouble. There's a lot of adversaries, no question. But make up your mind. Get prepared. Watch. Be prepared. Get ready. And then once you've made up your mind, stand firm. Don't be talked out of it. Don't be wishy-washy. Go forward. Stand fast in the faith. The Apostle Paul goes on with two other things here. He says, I love the way this says it. Quit you like men. In other words, he's saying, act like men. Now, you know, can I just say this? Men, there's an expectation of you to walk through that door first. There's no such thing as leading from behind. I don't care what President Obama used to say. You cannot lead from behind. It's an oxymoron. If you're leading, you're out front. And guys, if you and I sit back and watch our wives walk through that door, we ought to hang our head in shame, because what we are not doing is being men. You know what it takes? It takes the courage of a man to walk through that door. Be a man. Lead. But my family won't follow. They can't follow if you don't lead. Do you understand how this works? Follow you where? Follow you in the comfort of the cell? Okay, there's no place to follow. I can follow. It's 9 feet this way, 6 feet that way. I know, I've been there. And there's no comfort there. You get the idea? God's opened a door of opportunity. Have the courage to step through it. Prepare, watch, be ready. And then make up your mind and don't look back. And then take upon yourself the courage of a man and walk through that door. And then he goes on to say, be strong. I love when you guys help me out. It saves my voice, plus it just makes sure that you're paying attention. Somebody put it out on Facebook, we ought to treat church more like the Super Bowl. Did you guys see that one on Facebook? It was out there. So bring Gatorade and we'll douse Pastor down this week, or I can't remember what it said, you know. And all I did was, my response was this: what goes around comes around. Just don't fall asleep. Hey, you're going to dump Gatorade on me, then you better be ready. So anyway, you get the idea. So it's like this. It's like, okay, God wants to do something, and I need to be strong. Help me out. What does a Christian do to be strong? Give me one thing. Pray. Pray. Get on your knees and pray. When I lack strength, I pray and ask God to give me strength. When I lack faith, I pray. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I pray and ask God to give me faith. I pray. I need to be strong. Pastor, I'm scared to death. I understand. I'm right with you. I am. Trust me, I'm right with you. I'm trying to lead us all through the door, all right? So if I'm doing that, guess who you're following? You know, you think you're scared. Join me up front for a little while. It's not easy. It's not. There's expectation, and guess what? It's easier to fall and fail when you're the first one to step someplace you don't know where you're going. right? I'm not taking you someplace I've been either, right? This is something we're doing together. So let's go. And it's scary. But we pray and ask God, what else do I do to get strong in the Lord? Read my Bible. I heard somebody say that. Read my Bible. Yes. Read your Bible. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God never returns void. The Word of God is like a hammer that crushes rocks into powder. The Word of God does all of these things. It's a powerful book. And I need strength, and I'm going to derive my strength from the Word. I'm going to pray and ask God to give me strength. What else do I? Okay, I tell other people. I start beginning to share the gospel about with the Lord. There's one other really big one here. Say it again. Well, that'd be a good one. Yeah, wise counsel. Absolutely, wise counsel. Trust and meditate, and meditate and trust. I get all those. Okay, I'm your pastor. What do you think your pastor wants you to hear? Attend church. You know what? Well, be saved, of course, but attend church. Hey, listen, God didn't put churches here so you have a place to have weddings. Do you understand that, right? We can do weddings any place. You can get married in a field. You can do weddings any place. The reason we have churches is because God's people derive strength from iron sharpening iron. God's people derive strength from one another. We come together and we fellowship together. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to read God's word. I'm going to begin to come to church more often and more regularly and et cetera, et cetera. You know, I'm going to add one church service to my belt loop this year. I'm going to start coming to Sunday school, or I'm going to start coming to Wednesday night, or I'm going to start coming to Sunday night. You say, Pastor John, this is Super Bowl Sunday, and you're preaching about coming to church on Sunday night. It's the Patriots. Who cares? Super Bowl Sunday, yes. Yeah. God wants to give us strength. Why do I need strength? Because there's a great door open before me. And on the other side of the door, I don't know what's there. I just know that God wants me to go through it. And I know that between me and that door, there are adversaries. A lot of struggles. I need God's strength. Read the Word. Pray. Attend church. But keep on going. Look down at verse 14. Let all your things be done with charity. Add love to the mix. Pastor, you know, the greatest, the Bible says, of these is charity, right? Faith, hope, charity, these three. The greatest of these is charity. Say, Pastor, I'm ready. And I would be even more ready, but so-and-so over there keeps getting my way. All right, add love to the mix, right? Rather than getting frustrated and irritated, and rather than saying, you know, this didn't work out and that didn't, guess what you're going to find if you join me on this journey? You're going to find 3 weeks into it, something isn't going to work. And it's going to be frustrating. 6 months into it, it's not going to be happening as fast as you wanted it to happen. And it's going to be frustrating. We need to add love to the mix. What God will do on the other side of that door will only be seen by those who walk through it. But I believe, Southeast Baptist, that God wants to do something here. And I have put together a list of things for us to get busy doing, and most of them don't require anything from us but some, oh, I hadn't thought about doing that. Let's start doing that. It's that kind of a thing. It's not like we're going to have to go out and borrow $1 million. It's not like we have to build buildings. And, you know, yeah, not that we wouldn't like to do all those things. If you want to give us $1 million, we'll figure out a way to spend it. But that's not the point. None of that is there. This is just simply walking through the door. Are you ready? 2017's upon us. God wants to do something here in this place. And you're here for a reason. Some of you, by the way, the great door that God's opened up is to join us. We love having you visit. But you know, some of you, we've quit counting you as visitors because you've been visiting so long we forgot you're visiting. Join us. We'd love to have you on board officially. Be a part of what's going on, what God's doing. Whatever it might be, let's see God do some things. Finish this up. Go down to verse 15 and 16. Here's where it finishes up. This is where, Pastor, I knew there was a catch to this. You're trying to turn me into a fanatic. No, I am not trying to turn you into a fanatic. It's worse. I'm trying to turn you into an addict. Look at what the Bible says, verses 15 and 16. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have, look at the word, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I'm not trying to turn you into a fanatic. I'm trying to turn you into an addict. You know what an addict does? An addict can never get enough of what they want. You ever notice that? All of us have some kind of addiction. My doctor said to me, water is vital to the health of your vocal cords. I said, well, I drink water in the form of coffee. And he said, you know, I mean, water, let's be honest. I mean, coffee is what, 95% water? So it's water, right? And he said, and caffeine is about the worst thing that you can do for your vocal cords. Yikes, I could have gone all day. You know why? Because whether I like to say it or not, I'm kind of addicted to coffee. I can't get enough of it. I love coffee. It's just good stuff. The only thing that follows coffee really close to my heart is sweet tea. You know? He's like, drink juice. Juice? I can't tell you the last time I picked up a glass of juice. Milk. I love milk. Whole milk. Thick, gooey milk. You know, I like it that way, so it's unhealthy. I like it that way. I love milk. I'll drink milk. Okay, well, he said that's better than coffee. An addict just can't get enough. Honestly, I'm telling you, honestly, I've been your pastor for 25 years plus. I cannot remember a single service, not one single solitary service that I was dragging myself to. I love being here. I mean, if we could figure out a way to make this 24/7 for the rest of our lives, I'd be happy. I'm not talking about me preaching. I'm just talking about us being together. I love being here. It's my favorite place on the earth. I love it. Can't get enough of it. To become an addict. They were addicted. An addict not only can't get enough, but an addict actually schedules time to make sure that they get in what they need to get in. Right? That's what an addict does. An addict says, oh, I've got to have it. I've got to have it so badly that I will drive out of my way to go buy the Starbucks on my way to my work and pay $3 more for a cup of coffee than I needed to, but it's good. Right? You get the idea? That's the addict. Can't get enough. And these folks were addicted to the things of God. You want to see Southeast Baptist Tabernacle turned upside down in 2017? Let several people in this congregation become addicted to the things of God. And it will change the face of this ministry. They had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. An addict sacrifices time and money to get what they want. You ready to walk through a door? Say, Pastor, I knew this was going further than I wanted to go. Yeah? That's kind of what the children of Israel said. Standing in the prison cell of the wilderness. And for 40 years, that's what they got. But their children got to see the blessings of Canaan. I don't know about you. I want to share that with my kids. I don't want to hear about it. I want to share it. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.